Don Green didn't give me more than 2 minutes to be in this building for the very first time. He approached me as I was standing in front of Carpenters for Christ bulletin board and marquee. He says, "What do you know about it? You interested? We need plumbers." I came from a plumbing career. Just moved in to town Wednesday before that Sunday. Don, thank you. It's been a blessing. It has been a blessing. My wife's wondering how I was going to tie this into the message. You know, the disciples were sent out by Christ. Go to the ends of the earth. Let my people know that they can be mine. In 1880, my great-grandfather came from Sweden to escape from not having freedom of religion in an abusive family situation. His brothers also came. They changed their name to Sandberg. It was that intolerable. My grandfather wanted a farm instead of being a carpenter, as my great-grandfather was. My great-grandfather started a house from the stone foundation to the finished tuck pointing on chimney. He knew how to build a house. There are still many of them standing in Marinette and Peshtigo, Wisconsin, where we came from not quite 5 weeks ago. World War II, my dad's brother and my dad served in military. My dad said he never saw combat. I'm not sure about that. He wouldn't talk about it when we approached him with a bayonet we found in the basement one time. I know my uncle did. His leg was blown off in a battle in Normandy. On my uncle's dying bed, he pulled me down close to him and said, "Hate is no good. Share love. Love across the face of the world." They grew up Christian. I grew up Christian. Not knowing, though, until I was about 13, that I had to ask Christ to be my Savior. Unfortunately, the church that I went to didn't tell me that. It took my cousin to tell me that. I thank God for him. I've been witnessing to many folks over the years. I've led a few to Christ over the years. I praise God for that. There have been many that I wish I could have led to the Lord before Ruth and I moved down here. We're still praying for those families. In 2011 and through 2013, I had three near-death experiences. God wasn't done with me. He's still not done with me, I'm finding out. Don asked me to come on this trip, and then Leon and others encouraging me in praying for this trip is not just what we can send out of this congregation, but Friendship Baptist and how many other Baptist church and how many other Bible preaching, teaching, loving churches. It's amazing what God allows us to do. Wes talked great. And there's a picture of Rudy on there, another gentleman that's approximately Wes's age that just wouldn't quit. We had kids. David, I saw him here. He went up there without his parents, without grandfather, to what I understand. A young teenager. There's something about preaching the word of God, teaching the word of God to men, to women, to kids, that is coming out of this building. And we want that to come out of other buildings, out of other congregations, because it can't be contained in this building. It's got to go out. I was able to witness to a couple of guys through Cliff's messages of the Old Testament that we were breezing through in our studies. And I was able to talk about Abraham sacrificing his son, Isaac. He was ready. He was willing. Boy, I don't know if I could have sacrificed my only son, Dale. I think Ruth Ann would have had second thoughts about that, but God-fearing, I'd have to consider it. But these two men had young boys, 4 years old and younger. Can you sacrifice them? Maybe not sacrifice them to die by the knife, but sacrifice them. Let them go as David did, as other youngsters did, to build a community, a world. This morning's Sunday school lesson, studying in Peter, 1 Peter 4, 9 through 11. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We can't contain it in these walls. We're sending men out. I want to let the guys know from the church that we came from about this. It's not Southern Baptist, but they're Baptists that believe in God's word. And I know they'd be happy to join us if we can get them in. I'm going to be talking to Leon and others. Thank you.
God is good. Amen. As Leon said, my name's Kendall Holt, and I have the privilege of serving on the building committee at Friendship Baptist. And when Leon invited me to come down and be a part of this, you know, I just couldn't say no. You know, when 90 folks come north, you know, at least one can come south, right? And so even though I do consider myself still in the south, though, even in Kentucky. But I just want to tell everyone thank you. You know, thank you for giving up your time and your talents for the furtherance of the kingdom. We were in a situation, I talked with Leon, we've talked a lot over the last few months, of not being able to do this project. I mean, that's where we were. Without your help, we wouldn't be where we are. The project wouldn't be there. We wouldn't have the funding to go forward with it. And so that's just a simple, you know, fact of it. Without Carpenters for Christ, the building would not be where we are now. We thank you. We thank Carpenters for Christ, the leadership, Leon and Don and Josh and Steve, everyone I met. I thank Lakeview Baptist for supporting Carpenters for Christ. It's a group that really changed my life. I didn't do, you know, much work on the project. I did walk around a lot. I talked to a lot of different people. And I shook a lot of different hands, and I said thank you a lot of different times. But what struck me was that I can't think of an exception. I don't think there was. I would say thank you for being here. Thank you for helping. And I would always get, no, thank you. Even though I'd be kind of dressed like this, they'd be covered in sweat or sawdust, you know. They would say, thank you. And just the spirit that the group had working with us, you couldn't help but be elevated as part of that. Our spirit at church, I mean, it's just so great now. Not that it was bad before, but just a new energy, an additional energy as a result of this project and your participation in it. And I'm just thankful that I was a part of it and continue to be a part. I'm confident that I have forged lifelong friendships, not only on this project, but in the future. I plan to stay in touch with the guys. And you know, when I came down here, my wife and I, Rhonda, Ron and I had a hotel for two nights. Leon said, no. So we're staying with Leon. Leon and Miss Judy. Didn't know Miss Judy before this trip, but what a Christian woman, what really an uplifting the last couple of days for my wife and myself. So going in the future, you know, my prayer is that the building that Carpenters of Christ helped build is filled with people, you know, that God's word be proclaimed in that building and that souls continue to be saved. That's what it's all about. If you think about it, if not another nail was driven or a paintbrush painted with, the project right now has paid for itself with the folks that have already been saved. You know, God had a plan for Carpenters of Christ being there. He had those that had a plan that resulted in those folks being saved. And I appreciate it, and I thank you, and I wish God's blessing upon Carpenters of Christ and Lakeview Baptist. Thanks.
We appreciate the opportunity the church gives us as Carpenters for Christ to go and build a building. And yet, we continue to say it's not just building a building, but it's building men. Building the building just gives us an opportunity to invest in each other, invest in the community, because as our pastor has taught us through the years, there's only two things that are eternal, the Word of God and the souls of men. And so, you know, the building will fall down someday if the Lord tarries. It may be blown down someday if a wind comes through. But what can't change is what God does for His eternal purposes. One of the things I get to do through the week is to teach our men two Bible studies a day at lunch and at dinner. And we spend and devote 2 hours of our day, 2 hours of our day, a hard, long work day, to the study of God's Word and the building up of the body of Christ. And if you think about it, it's not just our men from Lakeview that benefit from this, although there's 28, 30, 35, the numbers may vary. But there was 90 men from 25 different churches. And so the ministry of Lakeview is multiplied through all of these churches. Very quickly, I just want to share with you what we attempted to do through our Bible study. And it was a real challenge as the Lord led me this year to do an Old Testament survey and just talk about how we see Christ throughout the Bible. Especially we talk about from creation to Christ, how Christ is presented. In creation, the beginnings in Genesis, we see that God is the God of all life. He created all life. He created all life for Himself. In the fall, also in Genesis, we see that man rebelled against God. Even though man's crown creation rebelled against him, God had a plan. And even in Genesis, as early as Genesis 3:15, God spoke of His redeeming grace, His plan to bring man back into Himself. In the flood, we see that God judges the earth. How serious sin is to God, that God would take such serious actions to judge the world and its sin. In the tower, we see that God forms the nations, a tower of Babel. And there we start seeing this theme that's talked about throughout the Bible, that God has wants to save unto Himself people of all nations. But it was at the Tower of Babel when people started rebelling against God, trying to reach God on their own means, not scattering over all the earth, that God confused them and made them into nations by giving them different languages. It was in the patriarchs that God calls a people into Himself, a covenant people, a people whom He would send His Son, the Savior, to, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel. It was in the wilderness wanderings that God gives His people the law. You think about in those 40 short years, in one sense, that they had to spend in the desert because they would not obey God and get to enter into the promised land. In man's failure, look what God did. God gave them the law. God gave them the tabernacle and established worship. God took a people who were once slaves and formed them into a people of God, His own people. It was in the period of Judges that God's people wanted to be like the rest of the world. And we see a great warning for us as Christians today, that it's not about being like the rest of the world, but God calls us to be a people unto Himself. It was in the kings, three kings that God established in Saul and David and Solomon. Even though the people wanted a king like the rest of the world, God demonstrated once again, says, you may have rejected me as king here, but I will establish a king in the likeness of King David that will be your king for all eternity. And so King David just became a pattern for us for king, our own king, the Lord Jesus. And then we move into the divided kingdom. You know, that very confusing time of church history and as far as the history of the Old Testament, you know, you had two kings, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. You had one being the king of the northern kingdom, one being the king of the southern kingdom. But yet, in that time, you had two kingdoms and two histories of kingdoms, and yet you had two sets of prophets sent by God to speak to His people, to call them back into Himself. They spoke judgment against sin, but so much of the prophets, so much of our Old Testament, so much of our scripture that we have today was given to us by the prophets during this confusing time of history. Yet God was present and God was working. And in that, we talked especially about Isaiah 53, God promising a Messiah, the Lord Jesus, who would come and go to the cross and die on that cross to pay for our sins. And though the people were judged, exiled, God promised to bring those people back into Himself, which God is always faithful to do exactly what He says. So throughout the Old Testament, we see God promised His plan. He promised a Savior, the Lord Jesus. And so we saw Jesus throughout all of the Old Testament, and yet He's revealed to us in the New Testament. That's what carpenters went to do. They went to demonstrate to a people in one sense, although we're here to build a building, we're really here to share Christ with you just as we build a building. For us to study the Old Testament and to see that Christ is the most important feature of the story of God throughout the Old Testament. No matter if you're in exile or being judged or you're wandering in the desert, no matter what stage or what situation of your life, the most important thing is God is presenting Christ in that situation. And so that's what He's doing in our life. The most important thing for our life tonight is, who is Christ to us? Where is Christ in your life? Whatever stage, whatever journey, whatever experience you're going through, who is Christ to you? And where are you in relationship to Christ? And here's the message God is calling to us always. God calls us into Himself. He calls us to be His people. And the only way we can be His people is to embrace His Son, the Lord Jesus, He gave to be our Savior. And so as we come tonight, we celebrate another project finish. More, far more important, we celebrate a Christ, a Savior. Crucified, buried, and resurrected, our Lord and our King. And so as we stand and sing tonight, we challenge you and we call you to respond to the call of God in your life. I would dare say most of us in this room tonight are Christians. But it could be one. It could be one in this audience tonight that has never bent his knee or confessed with his mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. If you're here tonight, and you're hearing His voice, He's calling you unto Himself. Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation?